Each February, O'Vale presents poets and short fiction writers engaged in UCC's MA Creative Writing program who read from their new work. And this year's featured writers are Peggy McCarthy, Lauren O'Donovan, Roisin Leggett Bowen, Daniel Galvin, and Cornelia Mlack. And the event is held in collaboration with the UCC School of English and Digital Humanities. So we're going to start off now with Peggy McCarthy. To give you Peggy's bio, she is completing the MA in Creative Writing in UCC this year. Born near Skibbereen in West Cork, she's lived most of her life in Waterford City. She has worked as a primary teacher for many years and enjoys the great outdoors. She's had poems published in the Fish Anthology 2020 and Hold Open the Door. So can we have a big warm welcome to Peggy, please?
Hello, everybody. My first poem is called Unlearning. During thick, sticky days, we trapped bumblebees in jam jars crammed with flower heads and leaves. Scented tangles of rose, honeysuckle, and woodbine that dusted our fingers and powdered our nose. We held globes of summer in our hands. We stalked the dense hedge foraging, our hands and eyes sharp as scorpion pincers, primed and ready to nip. The thrill was the capture of a fat, furry one, its body a ball of buzzing wingbeats in our grasp. We scrambled to ogle and own the humming heart of summer. And I'm startled now to know how I've unlearned what I then knew about the ease of letting go. This next poem is called Father. Coming in, I often pass you in the hallway in sepia, your wedding day, June 1955. You couldn't believe your luck. And sometimes I stop to catch a trace of something I missed. Maybe it's the way the light catches the glass. I think I almost see you clearly. But mostly, you give nothing away. Clear-eyed, upright photo stance, a peep of handkerchief in your breast pocket, your first and last trip to the photographer's studio. Right hand put away behind your back, your left fingers folded in a fist, elbow tentatively crooked for your new bride. Going out, I sometimes glance at you again. This time it's the other photo, a dozen years after the first. Your farmer's grind cast briefly aside, your brow furrowed, your slack half smile. And what do I really know? You were not for turning from buckets and wells to pipes and plumbing, from bicycle clips and tilly lamps to motor cars and electricity. You knew land and fields and the cuckoo's call. You said the best part of the potato lies under the skin. These things hold steady when I pass through, angling to catch a glimpse of something new in the fading grays and blurry edges of an overcast summer. This next one was written after seeing the one-woman play called Gone Full Havisham. Staged. There she was on stage as we walked in, smeared black backwards across the big pink bed in her grimy wedding gown, her powder-smudged face a blink away from stillness. And when the lights dimmed, she flared for a full hour alone, one tough little nut, releasing herself into every breath, cracking open every miry pore. I thrilled at the thought of sliding off script, out of the dark into that bright, hot space, to be myself entirely in all that light, the sound of my voice carrying through my body. Until finally I could exit stage left and fizzle out the side door, abandoning everyone to jilted silence as the dust begins to settle. This next one is called Impulse. I watch him on the sunlit lawn, splayed low along summer grass, grappling between outstretched paws, a ravaged bone in his eager jaws, incisors clacking against hollowed shell, and the memory of marrow fresh on his tongue. On a shaded path by the flowerbed, through the spill of gravel and clay, a jaunty sparrow pecks her way, lifting and landing in tiny bursts, her dark eye scouting berry and seed, draining the pith from every husk. An evening sun burns down the sky, narrowing lines of slanted light. I shift to hold her shrinking glow, to catch the tapering ends of day, hanging on though the fire has passed. I chase shadows across the grass. This one is called Home to Roost. The pigeons are everywhere. From the kitchen window, I watch their slow strut across roof ridges, their road grey feathers folded, their jerky necks a swivel. Upstairs from the bedroom window, I spot two in the rowan tree on the lawn, their couplings sealed as they bill and tangle in a shiver of leaves. They mate for life, I'm told. And yesterday, I saw one cracked and broken on the road, his wing clapping done, flashes of white in rainbow grey, one hapless bird pulped by rolling tires. And in these weeks, unseen in the trees, their low, muffled sounds, steady as wing beats, have kept me on course and guided me home. And finally, this last one called Turbary Rites. And just to say, Turbary Rites refers to the right to cut turf on a bog. Turbary Rites. I remember the breeze skimming the frothy heads of tiny bog cotton and the midges nipping our skin, circling pools and places where water stood still. The booted foot on the upright spade, pushing through the top scrub, slicing into matted turf and rich dark seams of ancient earth. The tear of wiry threads from a mesh of fibres buried deep. The severed veins and knotted clots of bush and bramble, stalk and stem. Parcels of black brown peat lifted to the light, where we footed the slabs in airy stacks, our fingernails caked in crumbling clay. Turning sods on the higher banks, till bone hard and parched, we carried the creel to settle and wait by a winter grate. That was before the fires burned out, when smouldering fumes infused the air and flames devoured the arid clods. When life lodged in moss and mire, under grassy reeds and sedge, and the curlew call rang clear in the wind. That's it.
Wonderful stuff. Thank you so much, Peggy. Can we have a huge round of applause, please?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So on to our next guest. We have Lauren O'Donovan, who is a Cork-born... Oh, am I on mute? Hang on. Okay, I'm not, sorry. Okay, we have Lauren O'Donovan, who is a Cork-born poet, currently completing her creative writing master's in UCC. She was recently featured at the Old Vale Winter Warmer Festival's New Voices Showcase, and also at the 2020 Bookends Conference Poetry Panel. Lauren is an organizer of Dabara's spoken word literary events, where she has also appeared as a guest reader. And Lauren is looking forward to appearing as a guest poet at the Not the Time to Be Silent later in 2021. So can we have a big warm welcome to Lauren O'Donovan, please, who had a fabulous 5-word poem, I might add.
Thank you very much, Jim. I knew sweeting you up at the start would pay off for me. But anyway, what I would like to do is take you on a journey of randomness through the bright and dark places in my mind. So I have 4 poems altogether. The first is picture characters. White girl with a hand up. That could mean hi, but looks like a homicidal teacher's pet emoji. Smug angel, because I'm really a self-righteous dick emoji. Face with 3 floating hearts from when only 1 heart would just break your heart emoji. Screaming face inspired by that painting that was reacting to a scream and not actually screaming emoji. Head exploding because my children painted the cat with Nutella while my husband was busy playing Xbox emoji. Black thumbs up because I'm totally woke and definitely not racist emoji. Aubergine that everyone knows is really a penis emoji. Except that one guy who's all like, why does she keep asking for veggie pics? Happy chocolate poo swirl that uncomfortably reminds everyone who was on the net in the 90s of 2 girls, 1 cup emoji. Crazy face that acts as an all-purpose, legally binding general disclaimer emoji. Face with 2 jazz hands lunging in attack that actually means hug emoji. An otter relaxing on its back in a pool because I'm completely fucking adorable emoji. Face with little floating Z's indicating that I'm tired, specifically of you emoji. I can't even begin to guess what this emoji means emoji. Raised hand that looks like a vicious palm strike coming from your face, but apparently means bye emoji. Okay, so that's the end of the first bit of madness, and maybe the most madness that I have in store. Next up, to be a little bit more normal, I have a Sistina about the ocean. It's an abridged Sistina, and by abridged, I mean I cut the envoy because I couldn't get it to work, and I prefer the repetition and just the 6 stanzas. So it's called The Wild Way, or if you just prefer the 6 words, it's ocean shells, sand, sky, soul alive. My cottage can hear the midnight ocean, tide, bringing jetsam, seaweed, and shells to submissive miles of fine white sand, bound by water, dune, and sky. Winds blow doubt from my soul. In the emptiness before dawn, I am alive. Ballyhaig is dead, but I am alive to heed wisdom whispered by the ocean. While her whitecap angels strip my soul, then redress with seafoam and oyster shells. Under clouds performing dawn sky, I walk alone on wild west coast and mermaid toenails sparkle in the sand, half buried and dead, but in my hand alive. Tiny nacre caves capture suns from far sky to sink their purple flames in Mother Ocean. But the oyster catcher and shell collector have other plans for lost aquatic souls. In my bag, heavy yesterday with lemon soul, now jingle iridescent petals plucked from sand. The tinkling chimes sing, shed your shell, surrender ego, connect to life. I submit and join the dancing ocean in Adiajo Chasse beneath a bouquet sky. Wet strand reflects the birth of morning, interrupted by another early soul, a local breaking day beside her ocean. She stops me as I bend to pick the sand. I share that I am glad to again feel alive, and on his grave will grow a rose of shells. The lady says it was these selfsame shells Mammy sought beneath a long-set virgin sky. Still young and soft and to the top with life, they foraged baskets full of shellfish souls, ran home barefoot over rocky sand dunes with willow-wrapped gifts from the ocean. Thank you. And next up, we're taking a little trip sideways into the world of mythology with the myth of Persephone. And this one is called Trembling Ghosts. Erebus screams the neon sign through a flood of blue-hot flames. Wet shadows form shifting lines to await judgment at the door, where pinned to every left lapel, Cerberus, debossed in gold. She walks among the shadows, heels drumming stiletto beats, in time with the boom boom roaring from forbidden rooms, past the pillared velvet twists, and in the door, staff only. She greets Venus and kisses Juno. Diana's at her mirror. She tells her to move over. Hang up coat, get undressed, powder face, neck and breasts. Has anyone seen my flowers? Hecate hides in feathered faces and gifts elixirs to her sisters. Small white rocks stamped with arrows, gone again in one quick swallow. She click pops a stick of carmine wax to paint her lips with crushed nymphs. Naughty uncles, here she is, your baby niece Persephone, shouts Minos in the microphone. She performs on cue, straddles the stage, bites open overripe plums, juice squirts, dripping her pale flesh. Her jaw is tight and pupils blown. She's dead to what comes next. As told, she picks a front row god and puts a plum between her breasts. She swaps the stage for two bent knees to beg of Pluto, feast on me. And thank you. And on to the final poem now, where I hope to leave you with a much lighter and whimsical note. It's called The Sheep and Dragon. She cooks felled carrots in the washing machine, while a polymer soup simmers on the stove. I shuffle to the door, on hard knees and knock. A hollow knock puts stop to serious preparation. The door is opened by a smile immersed in the softest demi-semi quavers of delight. My prize stands inside on a pile of stitched creatures. Scales of blackened toffee laced with white thread run up the belly and fade into burnt yellow chenille fur. It wears a large cotton candy knitted toque, complete with sequined cat ears and embroidered whiskers. Only tall wings with wire armature declare golden dragon. Astride the drake is a woolly back, scruffy from love, gender fluid and finished with fleece handles and zip. Soft hooves darkened from indeterminable dirt. On each, a plaster supporting a cast of cartoon characters. Bright beads stare out of the darling lamb face that with sewn smile rests limp upon the dragon's hat. The shopkeeper negotiates senselessly and says, I cannot have a dragon or a sheep, for they take too much care. Instead, I must prove myself with a swimming dog for 3 coins. Coins she gives to me before I must give back to her. But I am not to worry. The dog comes with an imaginary pool. But now she tires of my haggling and demands television. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much, Lauren. That was really great.
Well done, Lauren. Fantastic.
Okay, thanks very much. So our next poet is Roisin Leggett Bowen, who is currently studying for her MA in creative writing in UCC. A writer of short stories and poetry, she is moved by the bravery that lies within vulnerability. Her writings have been published by the Amsterdam Quarterly, Islands Press, Cork County Library, and Visual Verse, She received a notable mention in the Kurt New Writing Prize for Poetry in 2020. So can we have a big warm welcome for Róisín, please?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here and it's lovely to hear all the poems tonight. I'll start with a piece called The Curator. I will be the curator of what you lost. I will build a fine museum to exhibit your life's work. I will pick up the things that you forgot, ornate them, invite the right crowd, art collector, investor. There, a hair from your head on that brush, encase it, frame it in golden dust. And here, a breath you mislaid, parade it in a glass jewelry box, hand cut for a connoisseur. That blood spot on your handkerchief, siphon it off, hang it as a centerpiece. Your expiration I will flay on piano keys so only your music plays. The punters are free, no dis-ease. Your heart, what of that? Wrap it up in muslin, steady it, cradle it, lull it. Lie it in a rocking chair until it sways still. Your tears I will preserve with the dewdrops of fern fronds. The eyelash that fell when you closed your eyes, I will illuminate with the sun until death is undone. I will be the curator of what you lost. I will build a fine museum to exhibit your life's work. But I will not place the red dot. I will keep the lot. I will be the curator of what I lost. Thank you. The next one I'm going to read is called Memory Loss. I'll be all right, nurse, won't I? Could I stop breathing, nurse? Could I? Lost eyes, meandering reality. Try to remember to breathe. No clarity. What if I forget to breathe, nurse? What if I can't remember, like? What do I do then, nurse? Take her hand, swollen fingers, no longer fit to wear a ring. Do the hands forget too? The recipes, the kneading? I go back to 8 years old in the kitchen, making scones, daddy blustering in, earth overtaking cinnamon. Closing my eyes, allowing my ears to anticipate his hearty salutation. Hello, the house. Pulling off wellies, effort measured in size, one welly falling, no longer weighted. A whisk or kiss planted on my cheek, tickles, giggles, inhaling the outside from his skin, winter sun bounding in, blushing my mother's face, teasing, kneading, leaning into bouncing black curls, he lifts a stray tendril from her neck, whispers, how's my own darling full of grace? Eyes of almond light reflect his warmth. Laughter lifts the room. Back now to this. No smell of baking here. Cool, clinical, pale. No mother left that remembers being Grace. No mother left that remembers a daughter. A grey curl escapes its hairpin. You're very good to me, nurse. Thanks, nurse. That's all right, ma'am. You'll be all right, ma'am. Thank you. And the next one is a play on a fable. It's called Inish Cu and it's a sequence poem. Inish Cu, Colleen Ogue. The story folds that a young girl grows home between sap and falling leaves, beneath the wood, the sheltered hood of untold tales. The serial sentence, fables maker, how youth has caught a glimpse of nature's beauty within a nymph of muted sibilance. She skips her way, done with chores, but shadows furl in the unsaid curls of her bold and bashful wisp of hair. Farbroita. He is there, the sickened soul, unwanted by his mother. Brutal and slobber, the pounce of patience blackens his plunder. She doesn't know what hits her. A fallen branch, a picture of how she looked in her christening gown, all laced in possibilities. He took her with a rock to the head and left her aside the waterbed where wolves would bend their gently woven heads for inspiration. But the killing of this calling ogre tore up the ground, their every fold or firm foundation. Moktira. They blew through their wide-eyed pain, a declaration for all wolves they did proclaim to gather, rush, gush the water as their cushioned pads fiercely tread to catch the little girl's killer. Botch him up with jaw-edged trigger. He runs, of course, wouldn't you? Everyone knows that to live with the wild, you should stare it down, look it right through. But no, with stumbles and staggers, he scatters his ungainly stance. The crows call coward. Aigna Inishku. And who is the prey? And who is the caught? And it goes on and on till we have fought the demons that lay in our heads. The ones that keep us bereft in soft beds of beastly fable talk. And so his death was not so swift. He was carrion feast with fresh blood mixed. They left him melt into the ground. The trees rejoiced in leaflet sound. The pack had thought the girl had perished, but up out of her body an apple tree flourished. And within that tree, new buoyant buds fell upon the open earth. And the smell of succulents can be heard for hundreds and hundreds of miles aloud. With heads held high, the wolves do howl through brilliant light of windfall. Father Bio on Lanof Maktira. Thanks, everyone. That's it for me.
Thank you so much, Roisin. That was wonderful. Big round of applause again, please, for Roisin. All right, thank you. Okay, our next poet is Daniel Galvin, who is from County Cork. His writing has been published in the Moth, Honest Ulsterman, Acumen, the West Texas Literary Review, Rock and Sling, and Ofi Press Mexico. He came first place in the spoken word platform at Quirt International Literary Festival 2017, and also won the May 2017 Sunday Slam in Dublin. Daniel was also shortlisted for the Red Lion Poetry Competition in 2018, and he is currently completing an MA in Writing at University College Cork. So can we please welcome Daniel Galvin.
Thanks very much, Jim. Nice to be speaking to you today, guys, or tonight. The first poem is called Fireworks. There's a place name in here. Noval, for anyone who doesn't know, is a place in southeast Cork where I used to play hurling when I was younger. Fireworks. A muffled pop. Deep within the fabric of the sky, something has burst against the quiet and the dark. That whistling off of matter must be the blobs of fire fizzling down. Attentive as a finger on a wrist, I step aside on time to see one flower. A beat before my ears pick up the sound. And suddenly I'm on the pitch in Noval, peering past the running track to where he pelts the slitter off the wall. The gloaming yields one pitch black note. Tonight, it rushes back across the years, seeking me out. So I encountered a Kenneth Cope poem recently in which he parodies the famous William Carlos Williams poem, This Is Just to Say. And I said I'd have a crack off at myself. So the original Williams poem goes, it kind of takes the form of a note left on a kitchen table, maybe for a wife or a husband. And it goes, I have eaten the plums that were in the icebox and which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me, they were delicious. So sweet and so cold. So I wrote three kind of alternative versions of that one. Number one, this is just to say, I have crucified the man who was in the Garden of Gethsemane and who you were probably hoping would save himself and you. Forgive me, for I know not what I do. I went for a science theme on the next one. This is just to say, I have destroyed the deoxyribonucleic acid that was in the borosilicate flat-bottomed boiling flask and with which you were probably planning to instigate a polymerase chain reaction. Forgive me, I can't follow any of this. And number three, this is just to say, I have stolen the jokes that you wrote for the party and intend to tell them before you arrive. Ha, 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 ha. So that's that. The next one is a sonnet. It's called ASOS Ring. So ASOS is this like giant fast fashion company. And if you purchase a ring from ASOS, it's unlikely to be of good quality, which is something I found out the hard way. ASOS ring. I wore it on my smoking hand for the world to see. The signet was a murky oval, flecked with gold and wisps of grey. A flattened galaxy that hovered by my mouth like a persistent fly each time I took a pull. A lick of soap and water turned the band all coppery and dull. And the nonsense I was spouting to distract you from the greeny tinge around my finger when I tugged it off and placed it by your bedside lamp. Something about Tolkien and a recipe for a pretty decent Baron Brack. Cheers, guys. So two more. We're moving to Lisbon for this one. I lived there for about a year. And this I wrote this kind of towards the end of my time there. So this is called Junction. My ball of falafel is topped with a dollop of hummus, which in turn has been garlanded with a sprig of something green. A bite unlocks the fuming engine heart, pungent with spice, so finely cooked it must have been watched second by second, bobbing in the oil. The streets at night are swept of stalls that tell the time of year. No chestnut smoke to smear the stations. No June bananas huddled in their boxes by the gate. Dyed bronze, the junction coughs as gentle traffic snakes home past my perch. The driver's chins changing color when they yawn. Throats scarfed in the gloom that love is made in, a wedding ring upon a steering wheel. Lights rush down the sleek fish bodies of the cars, ripples in the chrome, warping the waiter's reflection as he nudges tides of bleach over the sill. Eventually the furniture is taken in around me, and it's time to head back. The orange trees outside the flat drop overripe fruit, and I step between the husks, as earlier you stepped between the worn-out segments drained of juice. In the stairwell, all dark water, where your finger found the little flame that shivers in the light switch, I can still detect the soft rattle of moths that were disturbed. And one last one. So I went to an exhibition of ancient Islamic ceramics there not so long ago. And the labels that attached to the pieces struck me as being almost as beautiful as the pieces themselves. So I kind of wrote them all down and I arranged them into this poem. Thanks for listening, guys. Gulbenkian. Deep plate with central medallion. Bowl with flowering prune tree. Deep plate with geese. Plate with sickle leaves. Bowl with garden. Pilgrim's flask. Deep plate with trefoil motif. Deep plate with sickle leaves and deer. Jug with two geese flying under clouds. Deep plate with lotus tree and flowers. Jug with two fig trees and silver mounts. Jug with phoenix flying under clouds. Bowl with pomegranates. Deep plate with hyacinths. Jug with centimani and wavy bands. Deep plate with geese flying over river with fish. Bowl with fishes, bowl with sun, tile with youth in garden. Thanks a million, guys. Cheers.
Thanks very much, Daniel. That was wonderful. Really great stuff. Okay, and now on to our last but not least poet, Cornelia Millac. Is a bilingual poet and artist who hopes to explore more languages to develop the depth of their work. They were raised in Poland and moved to Wexford during their childhood. She has completed an undergraduate degree in the study of religions and philosophy at UCC, where she is also currently enrolled in the MA Creative Writing program. Cornelia is interested in the unseen and writes extensively on the themes of search, love, and awareness. Her poetry is predominantly displayed in an abstract and surreal manner. So can we please welcome Cornelia, please?
Thank you for having me. I tried to create a storyline that follows the five poems that I will read for you. And the first one is called White-Throated Kingfisher, and it's a sequence poem. White-Throated Kingfisher, blood orange to red, a sunset at its tip, maybe rose petals, but not quite. You could hand me a rose and the color would differ. And what would I do then? Somewhat like goldfish, but darker, deeper, dribbles, a leak of the color of grapefruit. Autumn leaves falling, red ones, all the things that make up a carnelian. Ginger to brown. Caramel truffles by the fireplace, maybe orangutans, but the fur, shorter. Your cinnamon that I used for my ginger molasses cookies, and you ate them all, rightfully. An old wooden fence, creasing and damp, separating the paths of a fox and a cocker spaniel. All the things that make up an aragonite sputnik. White. Polar bear families playing in the snow. Maybe the clouds passing by, forming photos. You blew on a wispy dandelion papaya in the garden. I think a dove caught it. Melted white chocolate. One half of a zebra beside an aspen tree trunk. All the things that make up a catch-along. Black. The other half of the zebra. maybe the silhouette of nature against the setting sun. Your irises in which the starless universe blooms. There are bats who sleep upside down, and crows who remain upright. All the things that make up an obsidian. Blue. The weight of the sky on summer days. Bellflowers, but less violet, more blue. You washed some blueberries in a bowl and said, but the insides are green. How about the surface of the sea then? Or the body of a peacock? The ruffled hair of a jay? All the things that somehow make up an angelite. The next one is called Love Which Flutters Your Eggshell Wings. You handed me butterflies on a silver plate and gazed at me intently. Your wings covered a perfectly fried egg, one that I chose to let fall from its nest, to crash with the concrete. There were still bites of pebbles stuck inside the oil bubbles, but that was all okay. Until you pushed the plate in front of my stomach. I did not want to eat them yet. It was too early. But the fork wound up to be a plane, with you as the micropilot and passengers whose ability to fly you mocked. And as far as I remember, I opened my mouth and the butterflies entered by themselves. I observed their wings of all colors and sizes. A green-veined white butterfly. Yet when I looked at you then, my eyes clearer or foggier, everything else stopped existing at that moment, and all that held it together was your cute little nose and your eyes, golden dragon eggs which shimmered kindly, not staring at all, and they made me marvel on what they would look like if they did stare deeply. A purple emperor butterfly. I wanted to learn what would catch your eyes' attention, just enough to require a lingering look. How you'd express your sadness. I pondered if joy would leave your nose, just like the birds who leave their eggs after human touch. Would your eyelids drop far enough to interrupt your irises? And would you cry? How beautifully would you cry? A peacock butterfly. I melted into the brightness of your sunset smile, and I became lost within, even though you lit an individual street lamp during this raw daylight. Warm crystals were dancing ballet on your cheeks as you gazed at me intently. A tingle in my throat marked a departure, so I coughed, and I coughed. You stared at the egg on my silver plate with your moon-shaped lips and snowflake eyes, and I knew then, yes, I knew, that you would try again tomorrow. With caterpillars. The next one is a bit shorter and it's called Directions. When the branches will scream, when the leaves will die, when all blue turns not to red or brown but white, when all their hearts will burn in pain, when all their bodies rot away, when you climb down, disrupted sleep, when they will see and dive head deep, when one last flower blooms on earth and you close it, you will find me. The next one is called Your Birth as a Porcelain Music Box Doll. It was raining leaves on this earth, filled with bluebirds, ripples of cloud. There was no more blood escaping, river molding delta along her ties. Color shifted, shaped iris on sclera. She embraced the blue of her fall. The universe shed its stars on you. Now you will dance her truth like a doll. You can be filled with water no more. You will dive and swim and howl because they swiftly found each other. Before the grass re-entered the ground. They grew you on their own, a bowl, but you're really a shark on land. Now all you can do is sit on their box and turn, tear painted below your eye. And I have one last one for you. Odette. Let the ring, pinky, fall. Neck of a swan. Arm to the right. Extending fingertips. Up and back. Twist. Snake. Turn wrist. A bell. Shift. Twirl legs. Back to back. Rest. We pirouette. Circling vulture. Body ascends with a catch. A lift. Secure. Legs straight. Stretch. Waist curls in the air. Neck open. Tilt back. You're Odette. Slow down motion. Water droplets fall. Forever. Remain a crescent. Heart beating in their frame. Thank you.
And that is our final guest poet. Thank you all so much, guys. You all brought something so different and all equally special and really, really great work tonight.